Well, greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. This is World Government Through Coming World Financial Monetary System, number two. Now, let me just review a little what I covered last week here. But first, I just want to mention this. The things we have to discuss and the messages concerning the times ahead are really telling us how difficult it's going to be. And a lot of people, because like it says there in Isaiah 30, that speak to us smooth things, speak to us nice things, that some may think that I am scaring you because of what I'm saying. But the truth is, I'm not scaring you. So if you have felt that way, let me ask you to please read all of Jeremiah and all of Ezekiel, Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. Because what you're failing to understand is this. We all want the love and promises of God for eternal life and goodness and faith and hope and all of those good things. However, if you have nothing that will try your faith, try your love, try your hope, how do you know that you really have it, you see? And so it's like William Tyndale wrote, he says, if God sends you on a trip to go over the ocean, he will send a tempest to test you whether you believe him or no. Because if everything were just smooth, we would all become the most contemptuous and evil people in the world, because that's the way that human nature is. And so in bringing these things out and talking about them, it's not my intent to scare you. But let's go back and look at the longer picture. For over 15 years, I've been saying, get out of debt. Are you out of debt? And I've said that what you need to do is not have all your savings in cash. You need to be in gold or silver. Have you done that? And don't say, there he goes again, because watched television personalities today is Glenn Beck. And has he not been saying the same thing that I've been saying for how many ever years? And I've talked to gold dealers who people call and say, well, you know, I'd like to get some gold, but they really didn't want to pay the price when it was down, you know, about $800 an ounce or something like that. And they're sitting with a couple of $100,000 in the bank, and he told me even one man had a $500,000 in the bank. And he says, well, when the bank's closed, what are you going to do? See? So now everyone, and this is the lemming effect. And the lemming effect is this. When people see things getting bad, they run like lemmings, and lemmings all run at once. And if they're in the wrong direction, they will run right over a cliff, and they'll all die. See? So pretty soon we're going to have the lemming effect on gold and on silver, because people will finally realize, well, I should have gotten it years ago, but I didn't get it. Then people call me and ask me, what should I do? And I tell them, well, I can give you some general things to do, but I'm not your financial advisor. I don't need to know your personal finances. That's yours to manage. And you're responsible for it, see. So I'm not going to tell you, you must do this, you must do that, you must do the other thing. You need to examine all the facts and choose what you need to do. So likewise, in going through these scriptures, as I mentioned, we all, you know, are happy that the return of Christ is closer than it has been. However, we don't remember that the Bible tells us that just before Jesus returns, there's going to be trouble and difficulty such as not has been since the foundation of the world. So we're in a situation then, what do I do as a minister? I can preach nice and lovely things. So if you want some of that, I suggest you get the series on love, the series on hope, the series on faith, and go back over those. Because we are also, as the Apostle Paul said, here, let's come back to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and let's see our charge as teachers and ministers before God. Okay? We have responsibilities to do. We cannot act in political ways to do that which is pleasing to people because it upsets their delicate feelings. Now, let's begin here in chapter 3 and verse 16 because this is one we really need to have in our minds. And we've gone over this many, many times. And I want you to think about it today since we have the whole Bible. And how this was not even available in a complete form for anyone until William Tyndale translated it in English and Martin Luther did in German, although Martin Luther became a Jeroboam as far as his responsibility before God. He kept all the pagan things and even went back and worked with the Catholics to go against the peasants when they rebelled against the Catholic Church. And remember years ago, I gave a couple of sermons on Karlstadt. Remember that? And Karlstadt was one who came to Martin Luther and showed him in the Bible that he should keep the Sabbath. Well, after that happened, Martin Luther went on his way, his own thing, and he rejected that knowledge, and look what happened to his life. So once you have knowledge, you can't reject it. But here's what we need to consider today. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture. Now the word all means each and every one is God-breathed. That means all the genealogies because there's history involved in it. As you will hear when you listen to the three sermons that Michael Heiss did down in Hollister at the feast. He gave three really great sermons, and we're sending those out. It's coming out with the mailing that we're sending out this next week. And is profitable for doctrine, for conviction. See, because if you believe, you have to have conviction, but how can you have conviction unless you really know the scriptures and then also see and analyze how it's worked in your life, how it's worked in the lives of others, and today we're going to see how it's working in the world, see? For correction, and we all need correction. We all need things we need to change. And for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. And remember, we're going to be judged by our works, are we not? And I'm going to give a series of messages on works or no works. And how are you going to get around the scripture where Jesus said, blessed is he who keeps my works unto the end. See? Because human beings like to come along and take the good part of God's word, overlook the corrective part of God's word, and overlook the commands that God has given, and try and substitute those with their own ways. Well, it'll work for a while. But sooner or later, it's going to catch up, and it's all catching up with the world now. See? Now, chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you. So anyone who teaches and preaches, you know, it's not a matter of that all of a sudden you're going to be a preacher or teacher. Well, as I mentioned last week, there was this group in, I said Pennsylvania, but it was actually in Maryland, in Baltimore, that God did something to the minister to get him to really know he needed to preach the commandments. Well, had another phone call this week from a man in New York, and he's in the same situation. And so God is beginning to work with people in many different ways. That's why it's important that we stay with the truth, understand the truth, and grow in grace and knowledge to help these people. See? We've had all the years to get over the wounds and the bruises and the political fights and things that have been within the church wars that we have experienced. In other churches, it's not over yet. Some of them, it's just really beginning. But all of that is a way that God has of judging, of separating, of testing, of trying. And so this charge then is in the sight of God. In other words, everyone who's going to be teaching and preaching needs to figure this. What does it say in Hebrews 4? That everything is naked and laid bare before the one with whom we have the deal. Okay? God knows our hearts. God knows our minds. God knows our weaknesses. He knows all of that. He deals with us in his grace and his mercy and his love, true. But we need to respond in the way that God wants. Likewise with teaching, you see. In the sight of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who is ready to judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And, of course, the book of Revelation is all about God's judgment on the world, is it not? Yes, indeed. Preach the word. So there are things I need to preach. Some of them will be pleasant and inspiring. Some of them will be instructive and give us knowledge and understanding. Other things will be in the way of warnings and difficulties. Others are going to be showing what the way of the world is, and that's what I'm going to do again today. Be urgent in season and out of season. And that's not only with the holy days, but there is a time to preach things. There is a time to warn, because you can read back in Ezekiel 33 that if we don't warn, then we're held responsible. That's not to say, well, I'm Ezekiel's watchman on the wall. I don't presume any of that. I'm just a teacher, and I'll teach. And if we teach the love of God, the hope of God, the faith of God, and loving each other, then you see the truth gets down to this. You with the Holy Spirit of God will govern your own life, and you don't need someone to rule over you. See, if Christ can't rule in your heart, can the rule of any minister over you make you do things? Will that get you into the kingdom of God? No, God's not going to judge you by how the minister rules over you. God's going to judge the minister because he ruled instead of teaching, so that each one of us can learn how to rule our lives. But he's going to judge each one of us, see? So we have to be urgent in season and out of season. Convict, rebuke, encourage with all patience and doctrine. For there shall come a time when they will not tolerate sound doctrine. We've lived through that. We've seen that. And now that's happening in the Protestant and Catholic world more than ever before. On yesterday's Glenn Beck program, I didn't see it, but Laura's told me about it, that Glenn Beck has uncovered how George Soros is sneaking himself through his money into the Protestant churches to subvert them. And he is an atheist. And he does it through these foundations that, oh, this church, would you like some money here? Would you like to build a building? Well, we'll help you with it. See? But remember, he who holds the money and holds the mortgage is the ruler. So if they fall for that, and they accept George Soros' money, You think they can preach the truth? Never happened. I don't know how many will fall for it, but a lot of them will. So we need to be alert to that, you see. Not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own lust, shall accumulate to themselves a great number of teachers, having itching ears to hear what satisfies their cravings. And they shall turn away their own ears from the truth, and they shall be turned aside unto myths. And we've seen that happen. And it's going to accelerate in the future as we go down. But as far as you, be vigilant in all things, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, fully carry out your ministry. And so that's an admonition to everyone who teaches and preaches. I take that seriously. I hope that even in your own life for your studies, though you may not be a teacher or minister, that you would also take that as instruction and correction to you. So let's begin by coming over here to chapter 3, and let's see the state of the world. Now, we've gone through some of these scriptures before, some we haven't gone through in a long time. But let's look at the number one problem in the world right here. And that gets back to, it goes clear back to what we find the very last verse in the book of Judges. And there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own sight. That was what it was, as we covered last week, in the time before the flood and immediately after the flood. And Jesus said that's what it's going to be like at the end time. So Paul is writing the same thing here. He says, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And if perilous times come, should we not take warning from God's word? Yes, indeed. For men will be lovers of self. Boy, that's sure exemplified by, hey, many people. And now it's infiltrated up to the presidency of the United States. More concerned about self and his program than he is the welfare of the people and working with people to get things right. Lovers of money. That's what's wrong with Wall Street. That's what's wrong with the banking in the world. And I'm going to cover some things. I'll talk a little bit about the foreclosure crises that they have and stopping all foreclosures. I'll talk about that a little bit. Braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Boy, I saw a clip of unruly kids in school. Man, I wouldn't want to be a teacher today. Without self-control, do whatever you want, take whatever you want. Savage, despisers of those who are good. Betrayers, reckless, egotistical, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And this fits the society, but what I want you to understand is this. Today, all of these factors are growing exponentially. This is creating the crises that we are in. Now, here is the trick, verse 5, having an outward appearance of godliness. Just like Jesus said, many shall come in my name saying I am the Christ and shall deceive many. So that's why it's no surprise that the churches of God are few. And then you read Revelation 2 and 3 and you understand that even the churches of God have things to work on and correction to receive from Christ, who's the head of the church, correct? Yes. But denying the power of true godliness. But as for you, turn away from all these. Because here's what happens. For from men such as these come those who are worming their way into houses and are gaining control over empty-headed, gullible women. There are a lot of smart, wise women. Given over to various sins, being driven by all kinds of lust. They are always learning, but are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You can have all kinds of scientific knowledge. You can have all kinds of things, But unless you know the truth of God, what do you really know? And God made it very simple. Just think, everything you need to know for eternal life is right here. And as Jesus said, these words are spirit and they are life. Then you need the Spirit of God. And this tells you how to receive the Spirit of God. Everything that we need is here. And so when we come to various times in society, and especially in Israel in the end times, then there are many things we have to look at. All right, now I want you to come back here to the book of Isaiah. And we're going to look at some things here that are important for us to understand. And as we're turning back there, let's come to Isaiah 55. All right? Isaiah 55. Okay. Now, we're not going to go through I'll give a full sermon on these chapters in Isaiah, but I just want to cover some things from these chapters, and I want you to see an overall pattern as it is here in the book of Isaiah. Let's come to 54 first, just across the page. Verse 1, sing, O barren, you that have never broke out into singing, and shout, you who have never travailed, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman. Now, Paul refers to this as the church in Galatians 4. So here is the church. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 55. Ho, verse 1, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for what never satisfies? Hearken diligently to me, eat what is good, and let your soul be satisfied. All right? This is the preaching of the gospel. Then it talks about how you seek God, verse 6. See? You forsake your thoughts, forsake your ways, because God's thoughts and his ways are not our ways. Then you come to chapter 56, which I think is very important. I want you to notice how this flows along in a pattern. 56 and verse 1. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is near to come. And you can multiply that much more with concerning the return of Christ, right? And my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold on it, who keeps the Sabbath from profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Sabbath, correct? Yes. Then he says here, verse 4, for thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me, take hold of my covenant. Even to them will I give within my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and daughters, and I will give them an everlasting name which shall not be cut off. That's talking about spiritual salvation, is it not? Look at how the Sabbath is involved in it. Yes, indeed. Then we have chapter 57, which talks about also conversion and the troubles and difficulties that we're going to have, the death of the righteous, and how no one considers that they're being laid in store for the resurrection. Chapter 58, and verse 1. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a ram's horn and show my people their transgression and the house of Israel their sin. Now, you look at it, it's not interesting. My people has to refer to the church and the house of Jacob, their sins. So there comes a time of correction. If you've ever heard a ram's horn, or if you've ever been in a room where they blew a ram's horn, you know why. It is a sound of war. It is piercing, it is unsettling, and it really gets your attention. Okay? But notice, verse 2, yet they seek me daily, they seem eager to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and one that did not forget the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They seem eager to draw near to God. Well, that goes right in with Romans 9. That the people of Israel have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. The 10 tribes as well as the Jews, you see. Then they have their own religion. So there needs to be warnings that come from this, you see. Verse 3, they say, why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we afflicted our soul and you take no knowledge? God answers back, behold, in the day of your fast, you pursue your business and exploit all your workers. Fast for strife. Then he tells them what kind of fast that he wants. Then he tells them to draw near to him. Now notice what he says here. Verse 11. And the Lord shall always guide you and satisfy your soul in dry places and make your bones fat. That means healthy. Okay. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And those who come of you shall behold the old ruins. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. Then notice what follows that. See? So we go from correction down to what God is going to do. Then he shows us how to do it again, verse 13. And I want you to see how important the Sabbath is, because the Sabbath used in the right way as God intended is going to be the tool that God will use to show us and teach us what we need to do. If you turn your foot away from the Sabbath day, which shows that they weren't with their own religion. And I can't help but think of that. I saw it the other day. I was watching Thursday night college football. And you get all those young people out there shouting and yelling and screaming and just going at it, you know. And of course, most of them have their activities, especially the college football games, on Friday night and all day Saturday. You think their minds would ever be on the Sabbath? Do you think you could convince them to give up all this seeming pleasure that they have? See? And keep the Sabbath? Hey, no. Likewise with people in the world. Likewise with Sunday keepers. Now, there are some Sunday keepers who understand. There are some, like this one woman said, I sat in my church for nearly 20 years, and every Sunday said, why don't we keep the Sabbath? You know. And that's good, because finally she answered the question, and she's now in the church of God, so that's good. So God says here, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own desires on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor pursuing your own desires, nor speaking your own words, then... Now, notice all the conditions. You can say, if you'll turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your own desires on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and if you shall honor him, not doing your own ways, and nor pursuing your own desires, nor speaking your own words, then... That's quite a powerful if statement, isn't it, when you put it all together, see? Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. And, of course, that's talking about the return of Christ and the resurrection from the dead. And all of that goes into it. Now, we come to Isaiah 59. Now, Isaiah 59, because we... need to also understand that God judges in all the nations of the world, does he not? What is the sequence of God's judgment? Let's look at it this way. The sequence of his judgment and correction is, number one, to his church. Has the church been corrected? Has the church been spit out of the mouth of Christ? Has the church lost their colleges and ministers and members, many of whom were questionably converted, if converted? Has not the judgment then come upon our nation very much in a similar pattern? So much so that down through time, different ones have said, well, as the church goes, so goes the nation. Look at what's happening to it today. And why? Because we're going to see there are laws of God that apply to everyone, every human being on earth, converted or unconverted, to every individual, to every family, to every community, to every region, to every state, to every country, because God says that any nation that he's going to bless, if he finds it's doing evil, he's not going to bless it. But if that nation repents of its evil, then he will, then he will do good to them. So that works in the nations of men. See, God is not way off out there, limited to just the churches of God. See, if you have that view, that's a very narrow view. Because God will bless those who believe in him, whether they're converted or not. God will hear the prayers of those who call to him in faith and understanding. That's why the 33 were saved out of the mine. Because they prayed to God. That doesn't mean they're converted. Do only converted people pray to God? No. How do you think the unconverted eventually become converted? By praying to God, studying his word, right? And God leading them, correct? Yes. So Isaiah 59 tells us the state of things, and then we will go back and look at the causes of these right here in the book of Isaiah, so that we will be able to understand without being afraid, without saying, oh, you know, you're scaring me. I don't want to do that, but I want you to understand why things are the way that they are, and that there is a time to give warning and a time to speak of punishment and judgment because of the state of people, the state of the world. So here it is in Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Verse 2 tells you why. But your iniquities have come between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now you can take this in varying degrees, beginning with those who are in the church who are, and you've heard the word how many times, Laodiceans or Sardisites or Thyatira or from Pergamos or whatever, you see. So that God will not hear. He chooses not to hear. Because of your sins, because of your iniquities. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue has uttered perverseness. And you want me to bless you? You want me to spare you from any evil and difficulty? Look, every one of these things have a penalty. Wages of sin is death, correct? Defiled with blood, murder, rape, abortion, death, accidents, your fingers with iniquity. All of those have an automatic penalty, just like the law of gravity. Okay. Now, if you don't believe me, watch National Geographic Channel, if you have it, and watch when they talk about the hardened criminals, the lifers, the gangers who are there, and the way they have to deal with them. I saw an interview with a man who said, I have killed, I have no remorse, I have no feelings, I have no love, I have no concern, Now, what are you going to do if he's released out of prison? Because there's no more money to pay the guards. Now, is that a scary thing? I suggest you go online and you read how the Germans and the Austrians reacted when they had the inflation going wild before the collapse of the Weimar Republic. People were vicious to each other, taking food, beating them up, killing them, just to keep their own skin alive. Now, will we see some of that with the things that are going on? Very likely. We don't know how bad it's going to get. But I'll give you one clue. The insane judge in Arizona agreed to let the 13 Latin American countries join the lawsuit against Arizona with that law that they have. What was that law, 1083 or something like that? I don't know if that's the correct number or not. Does that tell you strangers are getting high above us? Yes, indeed. Why is it that all nations hate us? People will say, well, why should they hate us? The Americans are good people. Look at what they do whenever there's a disaster. Look how we've helped the world. True. But then you need to look at the other end of the scale. What are your sins? What are your crimes? What are the things that you have done? Verse 4, none calls for justice. True justice. They want their justice. Politically, the right wants their justice. The left wants their justice. The communists want their justice. The atheists want their justice. None calls for the justice of God. Nor does anyone plead for truth. Only the acceptable version of truth. See, and that's the problem that even some people within the Church of God have. You only want your version of the truth. I'll just take so much and no more. Well, what if God says there's a whole lot more to come? See? They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Man, if that doesn't describe Washington, D.L.C., I don't know. District of Liars and Corruption. I mean, even now, look at the power given to Sebelius, the Secretary of Health and Human Services. She's sending down orders every day, ungodly orders concerning health care and things. I got a letter the other day that, because medically speaking, if I go to the doctor, I have Medicare and I have supplemental insurance to go with it, but there are a lot of doctors withdrawing from Medicare because they're not going to pay them but a pittance for whatever they do. So I got a nice little letter registered, signed so it goes back. See, you get signed return receipt that I got it. And they said, we're no longer going to serve you as a primary care physician. I went once in 2 years. Now, what's going to happen to people who are really dependent upon doctors when that happens? See? That's just one thing. So they try and cure the problem. Verse 5, they hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats their eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. That's why none of these plans work. That's why all the law enforcement never brings law abiding. Because see, law abiding begins within by a choice. Their web shall not become clothing, nor shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are the works of iniquity. The acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. They have not known the way of peace. How can you have any peace there? See, this is why I can see, and I'll show you that the scriptures will support, that they can't get a world government by trying to change all of the governments to conform with what they want governmentally. But they can do it financially. Bring in a one world currency. And then I'll show you that at the end, then they have power as kings. So we're getting close to that time. There is no justice in their ways. You ever felt that? They have made crooked paths for themselves. Whoever goes therein shall not know peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We wait for light, but and behold darkness, for brightness, and we walk in deep shadows. We grope along the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. Among those who are strong, we're all like dead men. All because of the way that our society has been. This is quite an indictment. Now, I guarantee you that we're just beginning to see the beginning part of how this is going to be on a mammoth scale. See? So it's well worth our paying attention to understand what's going to come in the future, and that we can get out of the way of evil. We can take care of ourselves financially. We can be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, so we're not all caught up in the world that is described here. We're all like bears and mourn grievously like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. We look for salvation, yet it is far off from us. And I guarantee you that's what's going to happen financially. There will not be the money to pay even the interest on the national debt. And there is close to what? I think it is $300 trillion worth of debt in the whole world, if you include everybody's debt everywhere under all circumstances. And there's not enough money in the world to solve that. See, it's going to be just like it says here. Far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. They understand it. But they don't want to change. They don't want to change. All right, well, let's take a little break here.